We're going to start over in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 1. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. You know, I'm often amazed when we start off with reading the Word. It's so easy to spot now how many words that people just skip over. Remember, words have meaning. How many diseases and sicknesses could they heal? Every disease and sickness. Every disease and sickness. This is important, and you'll see why it's important as we go on. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James the son of Zebedee, his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter into any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take alone any gold or silver or copper in your belts, nor take a bag for the money for the journey, or an extra tunic or sandals or staff, for the worker is worth his keep. And let me tell you, the worker is worth his keep. You know, this comes out of me seeking from God what to do. What to do, where to start, where to go. Only God can send you. I want to show you something here. Now, this is with the 12. This is before Jesus died. This is while Jesus was still in the body of a man. Just like Adam's body. Only without sin. Because we are in flesh. And we're of Christ. Together we are the body of Christ. Now how many of you know this is true? How many of you know this is true? We are the body of Christ. God is working through flesh. By the Spirit of Christ is how we walk. We are His body. He is our head. So the church here is supposed to be like Christ was as a man walking on the earth. Amen? He was the only man in communication with the Father. And that's what we're supposed to be. The only people who are walking in communication with the Father through Jesus. Through His righteousness, not ours. Amen? Isn't that who we're supposed to be? Isn't that our identity as Christians in the earth? That we are the body of Christ? First of all, it tells you right there that there is no room for division. For a body, just like a house, divided against itself, cannot stand. This is who we're supposed to be. This is who we're supposed to be. This is what an ambassador of Christ is. When Jesus walked this earth as a man, He did it completely dependent upon the Father, not upon Himself. He walked completely dependent upon the Father. He didn't call upon His own deity. He didn't rest upon His own ideas. He gave everything first to the Father. What you say, I say, and what you do, I do. That's what I'm here for. And that's the way we should look at it. And our connection to the Father is only through Jesus Christ, through His body and blood. That communion. Now realize the place that this puts us. Together we are the body of Christ. Together we are the body of Christ. We are to walk as He walked. Don't know how many verses I could show you, but I could show you a bunch that says exactly that. You know them as well as I do. Well, what did Jesus do? There's a pattern right here for this last day's church. There's a pattern. He called His 12 disciples to Him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And the body of Christ, it's time that we started to gather those disciples. Do you understand? Not by the will of man. Not by the will of any group of men, but the will of God. Jesus gathered His disciples by the will of God, didn't He? Remember where it says in Luke 6 that He went up all night and He prayed? All night and He prayed. And when He came down the mountain, He appointed His 12, didn't He? He consulted God. It's time now. It's time now for the church to call its disciples to it. And to send them out. And to send them out. And give them authority. The authority Jesus has given us by the Holy Spirit. Authority to drive out evil spirits. And to heal every disease and sickness. Are you hearing me? That's what it's time for. In this last day's church. And you're going to see a parallel here. Remember we were talking yesterday that the gospel is preached first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. First to those who are God's people. And then to those who are outside. Jesus did it that way, didn't He? When the Syrophoenician woman said, "Hey, heal me, Lord." He said, "Is it meet that I give the bread of the children to the dogs?" And she said, "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table." And He said, "I haven't seen such great a faith." And she took it by faith. But He offered it to the children of Israel. Were there any takers? You understand? Were there any takers? When the Gentile centurion said, "Heal my servant. I'm not even worthy for you to enter my house." In other words, he said, "I know I'm a dog." This is to the children of Israel. "I know I'm a dog. But I don't have to have you come in my house. I know that you can do it because I'm a man of authority and I see that you are. And if I say come, they come. And if I say go, they go. So all you got to do is say it's done and it will be. Because I recognize that authority in you." And Jesus said, "I hadn't seen such great a faith in all of Israel." Were there any takers in that way in Israel? You know, Jesus asked the question, is it because there were no widows in Israel that Elijah was sent to the widow of Zarephath? Outside? Is it because there were no widows in Israel that He was sent to a Gentile widow, the widow of Zarephath? Is it because there were no lepers in Israel that He was sent to a Syrian, to Naaman, to heal him? See, they weren't having any by faith. You know, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile, this is a pattern and you've got to see it. Because first to the Jew and then to the Gentile is the very pattern of God, because first it's to the flesh and then it's to the Spirit. Remember how we talked about Jew and Gentile, what they were a picture of? Jesus quoted from Isaiah when He says, "They praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." They praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. By the law, they would praise because the law said they had to. They didn't understand it, and it wasn't from the heart. It was just empty words. It was doing actions instead of changing the root, which is the heart. So they had a circumcision that was done only in the body and wasn't done in their heart. You know, that circumcision was given to Abraham as a sign of what was already in his heart. Faith! So they became a people who praised with their lips, but their hearts were far from God. You know, the Gentiles are a picture of those who are far away from God. They're a picture of the heart of man. The Jew is a picture of the flesh of man. They were praising with their flesh. The flesh was praising those who were near, but those who were far away, their hearts were far away, weren't they? When the Jew was redeemed, was offered that redemption, and they rejected it, it went to the Gentiles, didn't it? The Gentile is the heart of man. Even though the Jew came first, it is the heart of man that was accepted, that which was far away. And so when God, when He says He wants to make those who are near and those who are far away one new man, it's the same as saying Jew and Gentile, one new man. It's the same as saying body and spirit, one new man. And you've got to understand this. This is all within this pattern. And this is why the gospel is preached first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. First to the flesh and then to the spirit. Because the flesh came first. It has the birthright. But it rejects. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to God's law, and neither indeed can it be. This is what he means about those two brothers, Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated. Esau came first but is rejected because he's a picture of the flesh, and he only cares for the things of the flesh, and he doesn't appreciate spiritual things. But Jacob was a quiet man who dwelt in a tent. He was born second. He's a picture of the spirit that lives in the tent of your body. And God's purpose in election has always been according to the Spirit. And this is why Adam is rejected and Jesus is accepted. The second born. This is the pattern. So the gospel is preached according to this pattern. First to the Jew, those who say with their lips, we're God's people. And then to the Gentile, whose heart, who is a picture of the heart of man that was far away. Those who praise me with their lips. Well, this is a picture of people in the flesh, period, who operate according to the flesh. So when Jesus sent out his 12 apostles, I want you to compare it to the church today, because the bride of Christ is going to send out its disciples. Right? Do not go among the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. That's the way this gospel is being preached now, here in these last days. First is to those who claim they are Christian. Those that are in the harlot. You know, the Jews who were preached to first and rejected in 70 AD, city was destroyed. Famine and plague within and sword without. By Rome. Wasn't it? And Jesus told them that he would leave their house desolate. He also told them, I will send you prophets and teachers and wise men, and some of them you'll kill and crucify, and others you'll chase from town to town harassing them. You won't accept what they have to say. And I'm going to hold you accountable, this generation that does that, for all the righteous blood that's been shed from righteous Abel to that of Zechariah, who was slain between the porch and the altar. I leave you your house desolate. And that's what the flesh is left with, desolation. That's what Esau was left with, desolation. There was no birthright anymore. He sold it. There was no blessing anymore, because there is no repentance for the flesh. He repented with tears and couldn't find it. The flesh is rejected. Can't enter in. It's according to the Spirit, and God's purpose is in the Spirit. And again, all this falls between Adam and Christ. Adam's rejected. Christ is accepted. Because God's purpose in election is those who can worship in spirit and in truth. So we've seen that they went first to the lost sheep of Israel, not to the Samaritans, and not to the Gentiles. Well, that's going to be the way it's going to be preached here. First to those who call themselves Christians, who praise with their lips, but their hearts are far away from God. And we're going to reach the point to where it's only to the Gentiles, the unsaved. You see how Gentile has become a figure for the unsaved? And how Jew has become a figure for those who claim that they're Christian? And the Pharisees are these modern day people who run this church of Babylon, this church, this harlot, that is strayed away from God? Can you see how all these figures have changed? Can y'all see that? Listen as it goes on. These 12, Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Don't go among the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the money for the journey, or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. So we're going to them. You think we're going to be received any better than those disciples were? Some will receive you, and most won't. Our message is the kingdom of heaven is near. The resurrection of the dead comes. And Jesus is bringing it with him at his second coming. It's near. Amen? The resurrection of the dead is near. And so is a judgment for those who reject. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there to stay at his house until you leave. And as you enter that home, give it your greeting. And if the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it'll be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. And so it is with us when we go to these churches, when we go to these people who claim that they're Christians and are not. Those who worship according to the flesh, only with their lips. When we go to them, we're not supposed to take any money. We're supposed to depend on God. Now look at it. Don't take no bag for the journey, or an extra tunic, or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. We're supposed to freely give what God has given us to give. And they're supposed to receive us as brethren. But you can see that they're not. And for those churches who don't receive the ones that God is sending them in this hour, the judgment is going to be great. Their house will be left to them desolate. Not just as individuals, but whole churches. Whole churches! Whole congregations! Because we will do what the Lord says. We will shake out the dust of our shoes in bringing them this message. I tell you the truth, it'll be more bearable and for Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment than for that town. I'm sending you like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Verse 17, be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councilors and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. And when they arrest you, do not worry about what you will say or how you say it. For at that time you'll be given what to say. For it will not be to you speaking, be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That's how it's going to be. That's exactly how it's going to be. We're going to reach the point to where we show up at a church to speak the truth, and they're going to call the cops. They're going to kick us out. They're going to bring false accusation against us. And that's going to have us drugged before the world, before Gentiles, before unbelievers. You see it? Can you see it? That's what's going to happen. And we're going to testify. We're going to stand in that court and testify. Judge. You judge whether it was right or wrong for me to do what God told me to do. You judge whether it's right or wrong to spread the message of Jesus. You judge whether it's right or wrong to disobey the God of gods. Is God a God of the Jews only or of the Gentiles too? Yes, the Gentiles too. Is God only the judge of the Baptist or the Methodist too? Yes, the Methodist too. Is God only the judge and the God of us or of those people who are being disobedient and blinded? Yes, of them too. And we're going to be called before them, before these Gentiles, as Jesus was, to testify. Even as Jesus was brought before Pilate, and Paul was brought before Agrippa, and eventually Caesar, so will we. We're going to testify to the truth, and God is going to bring us there. And it's going to be in chains. Look at what we're headed for. But when they arrest you, don't worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. You know, right now, it's already against the law in Canada to speak against homosexual marriage from the pulpit. You can be locked up. Just to state the truth, you can be locked up. To say it's an aberrance and an abomination, you can be locked up. It's coming here. You know, and it's going to be those who claim to be your brothers and sisters that are going to hate you and betray you. Those who claim to be of the Church of God. And they'll call themselves Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Catholics and whatever. And they'll be the ones. They'll be the ones to hand you over. Even as Jesus' own people handed him over to Rome. You've got to understand, the servant's no greater than his master. What happened with his master will happen with us. And it's a sign of who we are. It's a sign of who we are. You know, think of the church. Does the world really have enough evidence right now of the way the church seems for it to be even be a Christian? Are they standing up in the world's face and proclaiming the truth? If they were, persecution would already be upon us, wouldn't it? I want you to think about that. If the church was doing what it was supposed to do and standing up and proclaiming to the world the truth about Jesus, we'd already be in a great persecution. But the church that's out there right now, that's in the forefront, is a church of the flesh. And flesh will compromise. Flesh will go along to get along. You wait till God calls you to go out, stand outside of one of these churches that are running their people into the ground. And he calls you to holler out, as he did John the Baptist to Herod and Philippa. You wait till the pastor has you call out, Pastor. I mean, till God has you call out about that pastor. Pastor, how long will you be in adultery? And how long will you mislead these people away from the Spirit of God? You wait till God has you do that. See how long it takes for you to get locked up. See how long it takes for you to have some chains put on you. See how long it takes before they bring in the psychiatrist for you to give him your testimony too. See how long it takes before they drag you before a judge so you can give the testimony of Jesus. You just see how long it's going to take. Because God's going to call you to do exactly that. He did with John, didn't he? Herod, how long will you be in adultery? You who lead the people are the example, and you've turned away. Pastor, how long will you be in idolatry? How long will you mislead your people away? How long will you resist the Holy Spirit? They'll do to you just like they did Nameless last night. They'll kick you out of the church. And if they can, they'll lock you up. And it's coming. Brother will betray brother to death. And a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through all the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. And we will not finish going through all of the cities of this Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his own household? So don't be afraid of them. There's nothing that's concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill your soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even your very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth a lot more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. It's true inside of you as an individual, isn't it? Your enemies are the members of your own household. Your arms and your legs and your feet that are swift to shed blood and chase after lust, they're your enemies, and you must put them in submission. Huh? The spirit and the flesh war. Enemies in your own household. It's no different for this church. Because there is Sarah who is above and free of the Spirit, and there is those who worship according to the flesh. And they will turn on you in a minute. They don't want you taking the body this way. They don't want you preaching the truth. But you're going to be called to stand up. This division is a circumcision, and that happens not only in your heart to separate body and spirit, but it's a circumcision also between the whore of Babylon and God's church. and the flesh will be cut off. And it is our job to warn them to come out and flee before it happens. That's the watchman on the wall. That's the disciples of Christ. If you acknowledge God, Jesus, before men, then you'll be acknowledged. But if you shut up and you just let these people go on to hell, you're going to go with them. And that's the truth of it. How many of you can hear the truth and what I'm telling you today? Because that's the way it's going to be for us if we're truly of Christ. It's a good place to stop. Questions or comments? Do you see this, where it's all going?